Something about the question, or the way it was asked, troubled all the segments that heard it. And Jen Shinnan actually smiled. She had expected the Lord of the Roch to turn on Lieutenant On, and was pleased by it. "I do have an answer, my lord," said Lieutenant On. "Some nights ago, a local fisherman reported to me that she had found a cache of weapons under the lake. I removed them and took them to my house, and upon searching, discovered two more caches which I also removed. I had intended to search further this evening, but events have, as you see, prevented me. My report is written but not yet sent, because I, too, wondered how the guns could have come here without my knowledge." Perhaps it was only because of Jen Shinnan's smile and the oddly accusatory questions from Anander Mee and I, and the slight earlier in the temple plaza, but in the charged air of the temple, the echoes of Lieutenant On's words themselves felt like an accusation. "I have also wondered," Lieutenant On said, in the silence after those echoes died away, "why the young person in question would falsely accuse residents of the lower city of harassing her, when they assuredly did not. I'm quite certain no one from the lower city has harmed her."
"Someone has," shouted a voice in the crowd, and mutterings of assent started and grew and echoed around the vast stone space.
"What time did you last see your cousin?" asked Lieutenant On.
3 hours ago," said Jen Shinnan. "She told us good night and went to her room."
Lieutenant On addressed the segment of me that was nearest her. "One ask, did anyone cross from the lower city to the upper in the last 3 hours?" The segment that answered, 13, knew I should be careful about my answer, which by necessity everyone would hear. "No, no one crossed in either direction, though I can't be certain about the last 15 minutes.
"Someone might have come earlier," Jen Shinnan pointed out.
"In that case," answered Lieutenant On, "they're still in the upper city, and you ought to be looking for them there."
"The guns," Jen Shinnan began,
"are no danger to you. They're locked under the top floor of my house, and one Esk has disabled most of them by now." Jen Shinnan cast an odd, appealing look to Anander Mee and I, who had stood silent and impassive through this exchange.
"But..."
"Lieutenant On," said the Lord of the Roch, "a word."
She gestured aside, and Lieutenant On followed her to a spot 15 meters off. One of my segments followed, which Mee and I ignored.
"Lieutenant," she said in a quiet voice, "tell me what you think is happening."
Lieutenant On swallowed, took a breath. "My lord, I'm certain no one from the lower city has harmed the young person in question. I'm also certain the guns were not cached by anyone from the lower city, and the weapons were all ones which had been confiscated during the annexation. This can only originate from a very high level. That's why I haven't filed the report. I was hoping to speak directly to you about this when you arrived, but never had the opportunity."
"You were afraid if you reported it through regular channels, whoever did this would realize their plan had been detected and cover their tracks."
"Yes, my lord. When I heard you were coming, my lord, I planned to speak to you about it immediately."
"Justice of Torin?"
The Lord of the Roch addressed my segment without looking at me.
"Is this true?"
"Entirely, my lord," I answered. The junior priests still huddled, the head priest standing apart from them, looking at Lieutenant On and the Lord of the Roch where they conferred, an expression on her face that I couldn't read.
"So," said Anander Mee and I, "what's your assessment of this situation?"
Lieutenant On blinked in astonishment.
It looks very much to me as though Jen Shinnan is involved with the weapons. How would she have known of their existence otherwise?"
"And this murdered young person?"
"If she is murdered,
No one from the lower city did it. But can they have killed her themselves to have an excuse to...
Lieutenant On stopped, appalled.
An excuse to come down to the lower city and murder innocent citizens in their beds, and then use the existence of the weapons caches to support their assertion that they were only acting in self-defense and you had refused to do your duty and protect them.
She cast a glance at the Tan Mind, ringed by my still-armed and silver-armored segments.
Well, we can concern ourselves with details later. Right now, we need to deal with these people.
My lord, acknowledged Lieutenant On with a slight bow.
Shoot them.
To non-citizens, who only see Rajshahi in melodramatic entertainments, who know nothing of the Rotch besides ancillaries and annexations and what they think of as brainwashing, such an order might be appalling, but hardly surprising. But the idea of shooting citizens was, in fact, extremely shocking and upsetting. What, after all, was the point of civilization if not the well-being of citizens? And these people were citizens now.
Lieutenant On froze for 2 seconds.
My lord?
Anander Mianai's voice, which had been dispassionate, perhaps slightly stern, turned chill and severe.
Are you refusing an order, Lieutenant?
No, my lord, only... They're citizens, and we're in a temple, and we have them under control. And I've sent Justice of Torin 1-esque to the next division to ask for reinforcements. Justice of Entei's 7 Issa should be here in an hour, perhaps 2, and we can arrest the Tan Mind and assign them to re-education very easily since you're here.
Are you, asked Anander Mianai, slowly and clearly, refusing an order?
Jen Shinnan's amusement, her willingness, even eagerness, to speak to the Lord of the Rotch, it fell into a pattern for my listening segment. Someone very high up had made those guns available, had known how to cut off communications. No one was higher up than Anander Mianai, but it made no sense. Jen Shinnan's motivation was obvious, but how could the Lord of the Rotch possibly profit by it?
Lieutenant On was likely having the same thoughts. I could read her distress in the tension of her jaw, the stiff set of her shoulders. Still, it seemed unreal, because the external signs were all I could see.
I won't refuse an order, my lord, she said after 5 seconds.
May I protest it?
I believe you already have, said Anander Mianai coldly. Now shoot them.
Lieutenant On turned. I thought she was the slightest bit shaky as she walked toward the surrounded Tan Mind.
Justice of Torin, Mianai said, and the segment of me that had been about to follow Lieutenant On stopped. When was the last time I visited you?
I remembered the last time the Lord of the Rotch had boarded Justice of Torin very clearly. It had been an unusual visit, unannounced. 4 older bodies with no entourage. She had mostly stayed in her quarters talking to me, Justice of Torin me, not 1-esque me. But she had asked 1-esque to sing for her. I had obliged with a Valskayan piece. It had been 94 years, 2 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days before, shortly after the annexation of Valskai. I opened my mouth to say so, but instead heard myself say,
203 years, 4 months, 1 week, and 1 day ago, my lord.
Said Anander Mianai, but she said nothing else. Lieutenant On approached me, where I ringed the Tan Mind. She stood there, behind a segment, for 3.5 seconds, saying nothing. Her distress must have been obvious to more than just me. Jen Shinnan, seeing her stand there silent and unhappy, smiled, almost triumphantly.
Well?
1-esque,
Lieutenant On said, clearly dreading the finish of her sentence. Jen Shinnan's smile grew slightly larger, expecting Lieutenant On to send the Tan Min home, no doubt. Expecting, in the fullness of time, Lieutenant On's dismissal and the decline of the lower city's influence. I didn't want this, Lieutenant On said to her quietly. But I have a direct order. She raised her voice. One ask. Shoot them. Jen Shinnan's smile disappeared, replaced by horror and, I thought, betrayal, and she looked, plainly, directly, toward Anander Mianai, who stood impassive. The other Tan Min clamored, crying out in fear and protest. All my segments hesitated. The order made no sense. Whatever they had done, these were citizens, and I had them under control. But Lieutenant On said, loud and harsh, "Fire!" And I did. Within 3 seconds, all the Tan Min were dead. No one in the temple at that moment was young enough to be surprised at what had happened, though perhaps the several years since I'd executed anyone had lent the memories some distance, maybe even engendered some confidence that citizenship meant an end to such things. The junior priests stood where they had since this had begun, not moving, saying nothing. The head priest wept openly, soundlessly. I think, said Anander Mianai into the vast silence that surrounded us, once the echoes of gunfire had died down.
There won't be any more trouble from the Tan Min here.
Lieutenant On's mouth and throat twitched slightly, as though she were about to speak. But she didn't. Instead, she walked forward around the bodies, tapping four of my segments on the shoulder as she passed, and gesturing to them to follow. I realized she simply couldn't bring herself to speak. Or perhaps she feared what would come out of her mouth if she attempted it. Having only visual data from her was frustrating.
Where are you going, Lieutenant? Asked the Lord of the Roch.
Her back to me and I, Lieutenant On opened her mouth and then closed it again. Closed her eyes, took a breath. With my lord's permission, I intend to discover whatever it is that's blocking communications. Anander Mianai didn't answer, and Lieutenant On turned to my nearest segment. Jen Shinnan's house, that segment said, since it was clear Lieutenant On was still in emotional distress. I'll look for the young person as well. Just before sunrise, I found the device there. The instant I disabled it, I was myself again. Minus one missing segment. I saw the silent, barely twilit streets of the upper and lower city, the temple empty of anyone but myself, and 83 silent, staring corpses. Lieutenant On's grief and distress and shame were suddenly clear and visible to my combined relief and discomfort. And with a moment's willing it, the tracker signals of all the people in Oars flared into life in my vision, including the people who had died and still lay in the Temple of Ikt. My missing segment in an upper city street, neck broken, and Jen Shinnan's niece, in the mud at the bottom of the northern edge of the Four Temple Water. Chapter 9. Striegan came out of the infirmary, undercoat bloody, and the girl and her mother, who had been talking quietly in a language I didn't understand, fell silent and looked expectantly to her. I've done what I can, Striegan said with no preamble. He's out of danger. You'll need to take him to Therid to have the limbs regrown, but I've done some of the prep work, and they should grow back fairly easily.
2 weeks, said the Nilter woman, impassive, as though it wasn't the first time something like this had happened.
Can't be helped, said Striegan, answering something I hadn't heard or understood.
Maybe someone's got a few extra hands they can spare. I'll call some cousins.